There's a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're live back at the Yellow Dragon Roll podcast. This is your host, Igor, and as always with me is my host, Niksha. Say hi, Niksha.
Hi.
So, what up, Niksha? You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
It's been a while since we recorded last again.
Well, not that long, but still a bit longer.
Anywho, well, what has conspired since the last time we spoke?
I've played some Magic. I've been to the pre-release, and so have you.
Mm-hmm.
And I somehow keep on winning modern games with Tron.
What kind of Tron?
Blue Tron.
Huh. It's still a thing.
It's actually more of a thing now.
But how was the pre-release?
It was okay. I mean, we got some cards, I didn't get the promo Tybalt, and I'm kind of, you know, disappointed by that fact. But again, I did get a regular Tybalt, so that counts for something, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pissed that we didn't get actual two pre-release boxes.
Yeah, I know, me too.
But there was not enough boxes to go around. Ugh.
There should have been, but okay.
There should have, but apparently there wasn't, so you know.
I know. Oh well. But yeah, I mean, I went 3-2. How did you go?
2-3. Mostly because the first match we had, we drew none of the lands. Just looking at our stupid cards stupidly. But oh well, it was fun. We had a couple actual good games.
Mm-hmm.
But we got zero prizes, so that was a bit of a disappointment. Tess didn't get her Borgard. But, you know.
Yeah, we got 3-2, and we got a couple of boosters, and we managed to open not one, but two feathers. So we didn't have to, you know... So that was like easily decide who gets what. And so, okay, I get a feather, you get a feather. Everybody gets a feather.
Even we opened the feather, but we didn't play her because our white was not optimal. Or even good.
Yeah, white tends to do that.
I mean, if we had just one multicolor land, I might have played white and just play Esper, but I didn't. But oh well. Maybe I should have. Who knows?
So, Igor, do you have a Commander of the Week?
Sure. Let's go with Talish again, because I've been doing even more rework. By the way, you gave me the heartwarming redemption on the pre-release.
Yeah.
I put it in Talish, it actually does work.
Discarding cards deliberately and then drawing cards?
Yeah, but 4 mana is a lot.
I know.
Still worth it, though. I was surprised how good it is. Just, you know, discarding like 3 cards, drawing 4 is good. And life gain can be sometimes good.
You know, I've been hearing a lot of this, like, oh, 4 mana is too much, 3 mana is too much, and things like that. And more often than not, I notice people having, like, 5 mana or more by turn 2 or 3.
Well, yeah, but you want to do most things you can for your mana. I think that's the argument.
I know. I understand that, but still.
I wouldn't be playing 5 mana wheel if it was a type like this, but 4 mana is just enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I added a couple more cards to Alesha, some things like Harsh Mentor that I still haven't drawn, so I don't know how it is. But I managed to draw Kataki a couple of games against Artifact players.
That guess felt nice.
Andrew was playing his joyrags. Guess how well that went.
Mm-hmm. Well, you helped him crack them.
Yeah, he wasn't too happy about it, though, because it was a turn 2 Kataki.
That doesn't matter. His happiness is not the importance in this game.
Yeah, basically, he played the turn 2 Signet. It came to my turn 2, I play Kataki. He was like, God damn it. Mm-hmm. Why do you do this to me?
Why indeed?
By the way, I was thinking about that scenario. Why does Matei complain every time that I draw Trinisphere and all that? You know why? What's the answer? I mulligan super aggressively. Because I actually need to shut like 2 people at least in all the games I play, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my first couple of cards have to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, speaking of, the pre-release weekend was also the weekend of the Mythic Championship? How do you call them now?
Mythic Championship London, yeah.
Was the mulligan testing a success?
Well, I don't know. I just know that humans won, I think.
And Tron was in the final, but I think nobody said anything bad about the mulligan, so we might actually get it.
I really doubt it, because... just because people weren't playing, you know, actually tailored decks for the mulligan rule, doesn't mean the rule isn't, you know, bad for modern. Because there are some really degenerate things you can do with the mulligan rule. I mean, the mulligan rule alone brought, a monogreen Tron back to the first spot on the Goldfish metagame.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just that mulligan rule.
So. Yeah, but nobody said it was, you know, not good, and nobody said anything broken happened, and that was the pros testing it.
I mean, the mulligan rule is, by itself, is good. The format is the problem. I mean, if you're going to put that mulligan rule, then basically you need to have all the ley lines.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ley lines are very expensive. For, you know, a card you have to have a playset of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Again, you know my opinions on the mulligan rule. However, I didn't hear anything bad about the mulligan rule, so I'm not going to be surprised if, you know, it actually turns out, yep, we're adopting it.
I mean... They didn't say they're adopting it so far, so I really doubt they will. They would have said something by now.
Oh.
We'll see.
Anywho. What's next?
I guess I should say something about my Commander of the Week. So, I'm gonna go with KNT, because I managed to do a Niv-Mizzet kill. By using only the greater good.
Huh. How did that go?
Oh, you know, you cast an Eldrazi Titan, you sack an Eldrazi Titan. The damage gets there.
You think?
The damage will, you know, get there. Also, I had a game where I put Oath of Druids turn 2. One guy... the guy that whenever a creature enters the battlefield, he untaps.
Mm-hmm.
He got him off of that. And then he put Presence of Gond on him.
Oh.
And then I turned over, what's her face? Gisela.
Oh no.
Nice 1-1 army.
I mean, it is an infinite army, and there's ways to go around, you know, you having Gisela, but it's a bit difficult.
Yeah, just make them attack for 2, and you're fine. But attacking for 1, yeah. Infinite times 0 is still... Well, infinite times 0 is actually infinite?
I meant more of a, you know, just get Blood Artist or something involved, and kill all the dudes.
Yeah, but he has to do... But not really, because he had... His commander was the white angel that protects you and your stuff.
Oh. Well, that seems to be his problem, not mine.
Mm-hmm. I mean, having a lot of dudes is generally a really good strategy, unless there's a Gisela in play.
Except this time, right?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, KNT doing KNT things. I got a foil Nezahal, because having a foil 7-mana Mystic Remora is always more fun than having a regular 7-mana Mystic Remora.
Yeah, we were talking about decks like yours in our EDH chat group, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have all these super oppressive combo decks, and usually it's the mid-range decks that get there. Mm-hmm. Hell, usually Tessa's Dinosaurs is the most bloody CEDH deck on the table, because while three decks are busy, you know, to stop other decks from winning, she just stomps.
It's like, I played Trinisphere turn 1, and she's like, I mean, I don't have anything before turn 4, so whatever.
I mean, she does have Dorks on the line, but she's like, okay, I'll just wait, I guess. Okay, but I'll counter your spell. I'll counter your counter spell, and people play things like that. I play Dinosaur, and they're like, oh.
So, what basically happens is everybody's playing a competitive, some super competitive modern deck, while Tess is playing, well, Tron. It's like, I mean, you can shut me down all you want, but if I wait enough, if she just waits enough, she'll just, you know, too good creature. The creatures are too good to handle.
Mm-hmm. And when her main creature gets other creatures to the yard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stupid dinosaurs.
So, speaking of Tron.
Yeah?
Someone was caught cheating with it.
Most likely cheating. Yuya Watanabe was playing on the aforementioned London Mythic Championship. I just want to say Pro Tour, by the way.
It's a Pro Tour. Sure.
Yeah. But on round 14, they started observing him, the judges. And they made a deck check around 16. And turns out he had specifically markings on his sleeves on a couple of cards. On the Tron lands.
Mm-hmm.
I love your reaction the most, by the way. Why does he need to cheat? He's playing Tron already.
I mean, playing Tron is cheating by itself.
Well, yeah, you play three lands and you get seven mana. That's not how lands are supposed to go.
And it's like, wait, you don't have a natural Tron in your opening hand? What kind of Tron player are you, then?
You call yourself a professional player?
Wow. It's like, come on, man. You at least have two Tron lands in your opening hand. That's the, like, most... That's the basic part of playing Tron. So, if you want to get good of Tron, just do this. Turn 1, tower, map. Turn 2, power plant, crack it. That's it. Just do that, and you're the best player in the world.
Next show with the actual advanced strategies.
Mm-hmm. Just cast Karn, lol.
To quote the Dark Souls community, just get good, right?
Yeah. Well, speaking of Karn, I've been playing Mono Blue Tron, and
yeah,
included two Karns in it, and I am completely in love with Karn.
What, he's kind of good?
He's kind of absurd.
Really? It's not like we didn't say that he was actually stupid.
I mean, my sideboard has five actual sideboard cards.
Oh my god.
10 cards in the sideboard are fetchable by either Crux or Karn. So, you know, it's like having a 70 card deck while actually having just 60 cards in the deck.
Sheesh.
Also, a big factor in me winning the last tournament was cracking a booster just before the tournament and getting a blast zone and just like, oh, okay, instantly in the deck.
Mm-hmm.
And that land won 2 games.
What did you murder?
Humans.
Oh.
All of them.
Oh, honey. What, you just play
your
game
one? I went full on Anakin on them, okay?
Basically, you're playing game one, it goes whatever it goes. Game two, you open your open hand, it's a blast zone. You're like, oh, honey. Oh, no. This is gonna be so sucky for you. Just
game one as well. You know, you have maps and you can fetch for your blast zone.
Oh god.
It's like I don't need ratchet bombs anymore. I just have this land that's better.
By the way, I want to hear a random card that people are apparently playing, some people in Legacy. Price of Betrayal.
Okay.
One mana, kill a Jace and things like that. And people are playing more Planeswalkers now because Narset is that good.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you play her in Legacy? Because, you know, it was difficult to play Leobold, but why not put it on a Planeswalker, yeah, in just one color?
Yeah, but she doesn't, you know, actually draw you cards. Oh.
Uh-oh.
She actually draws you two cards.
She actually acts like she's a bit smaller Dictor Time.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That card sounds strong for an uncommon.
She's fine. I mean, also she's going to be a key piece for my canned wizards. Because, you know, when your opponent goes to end step and you violin or cast... Actually... You violin a Naban, and then you cast Vendilion Click. You take two of his cards, and he draws no cards, because Narset's in play.
Yeah, oh my god. just going kind of off the topic, are there any more cards from the World of Spark that actually impressed you? Now that you actually got to play with them a bit?
Commence the endgame. I still have to do some testing with it, but against the Death and Taxes, it did... performed admirably because mm-hmm. He attacks with a Thought Not Seer, and I have four cards in my hand. Well, let's make a 5/5 and block. Also draw two cards. Instant speed. Can't be countered. Ha ha ha.
Anything for Commander that you liked?
Karn.
Karn in all the formats apparently.
Yep.
Yeah, Narset is pretty good. Ashiok was good in at Pyrrhus, at least.
Ashiok is actually absurd in any form of shield.
Yes, she is, but I think Ashiok is going to be really good in Commander as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because guess what? You can't tutor. And I hear tutoring is good.
Kind of.
Yeah. That's a card I still can't... I can't remember anything else that I got to play with. Andra randomly opened two new Teferis, so that was cool for him.
Mm-hmm.
Not for me, because I didn't open anything good, but you know. One of my rares was the stupid Soul Diviner, the one who removes counters to draw your cards. Whoop-de-doo.
I mean, it combos with Chandra.
You know. Oh, you know what Tess got from Andra? The Mayhem Devil.
Mm-hmm.
You know how good that card is? Apparently, she managed to play it a few days ago. It's stupid. I had the Smothering Tide out. I couldn't crack anything because she would kill most of my field.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap, that's a good card, and that's an uncommon. Why are uncommons in this set better than actual, you know, rares?
Well, you know, because that's how it should go.
Is it?
Not really, but, you know, having good uncommons is very healthy for the game.
Mm-hmm. You don't hear me complaining. Also, Tess opened an arc bow, so that's good.
Yeah, I need to do something. I need to do something about Standard and the arc bow.
I need to get a couple of bowl citadels. That's the thing I need to get.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's apparently a really good card. Also... Tess is trying out the Emergent Zone in Prosh.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was complaining she can't instant speed combo out, right?
And the only land that allows her instant speed is in green and blue.
Yep. And this isn't the 4-mana do-nothing artifact, so...
So yeah, there you go.
All in all, I still really like the set.
Mm-hmm.
I got to play with it, I got smacked in my face a couple of times and didn't like that on the pre-release, but that's how the thing goes, and I'm not a good sealed player, so you need to take that into consideration. However, the set, all in all, seems really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gonna do good things for Commander, I think.
Yep.
having 36 planeswalkers turns out not gonna be the end of the world.
Well, for Sealed, it's a big deal, but, you know, outside of Sealed, it's whatever.
Yeah, a bunch of the rare planeswalkers are just okay in Commander.
It turns out the uncommons are better than all the rest, except for Karn.
Also, Teferi is really good.
I guess.
I mean, if you're playing a control deck, guess what? Nobody can respond to your stupid things.
My biggest beef with all the uncommon planeswalkers is that most of them are not really, you know, legal in CSA. And the ones that are, aren't really good.
What? You don't want to have Huatli?
Moving on.
I mean, what's an actual good planeswalker you can have from this set?
Karn?
That's basically it, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, you can also get Eugene, but, you know.
He's not that good for Commander.
I mean, he's not bad, mind you, but he's not that good, as you said. You can always get Parhelion with CSA.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't want to. By the way, I managed to... we managed to lose the game against Parhelion. Just Exaxes.
Well, Parhelion does that to people.
No. If we managed to survive one more turn, they would draw an empty library.
Oh.
That was the...
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Do we have a main topic to go to?
Yeah. So, talking about Feather, we actually went over and thought about what kind of deck we would build with Feather.
Some of the results might not be shocking to you.
While others will be like, well, duh.
So, what are a couple of cards you actually thought of? And how competitive do you think it's going to be?
I don't know about competitiveness, but it does seem to have some, you know, fun potential for Boros, you know, that doesn't include just swinging to win.
Although you'll be doing plenty of that in here as well, but, you know.
Sure. I mean, you can go multiple routes with Feather, and one of the routes I'm thinking about is something along, like, a Storm-like build.
Mm-hmm.
That uses a Sentinel Tower and Aetherflux Reservoir as the finishers. And since they're artifacts, they're actually rather relatively easy to fetch in white and red.
And remind everybody what the hell Sentinel Tower is.
Sentinel Tower gives all your spells... Well, it turns all your spells into... Well, not to, into Grapeshot. So, whenever an instant or sorcery spell is cast during your turn, Sentinel Tower deals damage to any target equal to 1 plus the number of instant and sorcery spells cast before that spell this turn. So, a mini storm, you deal damage, and that's, you know, more spells, more damage.
How many damage do you think you're gonna be able to pull out per turn, just on the average?
Well, if we pull out, like, 4 spells per turn, that's 10 damage per turn.
That's not bad, honestly.
I mean, it's only your turn, which is kind of a... feels bad. But, you know, 10 damage per turn, and if you have a Gutter Snipe in play, that's 18 damage per turn.
Mm-hmm.
If you put some more creatures that deal do the same thing, that's like that wall that there's that wall that does the same
thing. Yeah, from standard, right?
Yeah, from standard, so that's an additional 4 damage. You have Thermo Alchemist, that's an additional couple of damage. You have Firebrand Archer, that's even more damage. You know, just deal some collateral damage.
Damage.
And the way you go with all of this, so you have a bunch of cantrips, and you use mostly the one mana ones, like Expedite, Defiant Strike, Crimson Wisps, Ryle, Renegade Tactics, and Nivius Wisps. Those all draw you a card for one mana and do something. You don't really care what they do. Because
I mean, it can be some useful things like Apostle's Blessing. Oh, I mean, it's not a cantrip. I was going to say, there's one that gives you protection from color, right?
For protection, on one mana, there's God's Willing, Sheltering Light, Apostle's Blessing. I count this as a one mana because you're always playing it at one mana.
Shelter?
Shelter is two mana, but also cantrips.
That's why it was in my brain, because of the cantrip.
You also have Emergent Scathe and Blessed Breath. And some of these actually scry one, so they're kind of half cantrip. Kind of.
Samut Sprint is one of the better ones.
So on protection, on two, you also have Shelter, Valorous Stance, and Ephemeral Shields. And Ephemeral Shields, I actually forgot what they actually do. So it's a 2 mana with Convoke, and target creature gains indestructible until end of turn.
Sheesh.
And so that's your, like, basic package of cantripping and protecting your dudes. You also have Eerie Interlude for Wrath of God protection.
That's a card I haven't heard in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Removal is kind of interesting because you can use Fall of the Hammer.
Oh god.
Mm-hmm.
Straight from the Commander 15 or 14 precon, I think.
Straight from Theros.
I know, but I remember that last in the Kalemna deck.
Mm-hmm. Reckless Rage straight from Standard.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed Alliance is really cool.
Niksha, first tell us what Reckless Rage does, because I think nobody remembers that card.
You target a creature you control, it deals 2 damage to that creature, and 4 damage to a creature you don't control.
1 mana, killer stupid. 1 mana, killer stupid dork. Also, I guess my thing gets a bit damaged.
Impact Resonance is kind of cool, because if something deals damage, then you can just do 1 damage to, like, Aurelia, and the rest, you know, divide it.
Mm-hmm.
And you get your Impact Resonance back. There's also Chandra's Ignition. You have Souls. Huh?
Chandra's Ignition can be super fun. Mm-hmm. It's a bit expensive, but just dealing, like, 3 or 4 damage to everybody isn't bad. Mm-hmm. If you put something like a Stoneforger on Feather, it becomes much better.
Oh, yeah.
Boom.
There's also Fel the Mighty for all those big creatures. Which, again, it targets a creature you control, so it comes back to your hand.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
And the most fun out of all of them is Aurelia's Fury.
The card that everybody hyped up at the beginning of Return to Ravnica.
And it turns out it was a complete dud.
It still is really much of a dud, but, you know, not that bad of a dud.
Well, with Feather, it's actually, you know, a recursible silence.
Mm-hmm. A thing you might actually want to play sometime... I mean, do you play things like a Braid in this deck?
You can.
Ignoring Feather aside and her effect, but I think you should play things like this just because it's solid removal.
I mean, still, you should play removal like Swords to Plowshares and a Braid and the rest of the good stuff.
Honestly, Swords to Plowshares is good because even if you're in a life pinch and you have something bigger that you can just, you know, pet Swords to Plowshares,
mm-hmm.
bit of life gain isn't bad, and the sword gets the back to hand.
And, of course, it helps you with your Aetherflux Reservoir plan, mm-hmm. if you're going for that.
If you have a good artifact creature, you can play something like Biforce.
Mm-hmm.
And kill a bunch of stuff and just get it back.
Mm-hmm. You mean you can also go for more Voltron... Let's say Voltron-y build, although you don't actually put equipment on your commander... But
besides
play cards But play cards like Titan Strength and Samut's Sprint and other, you know, pumping spells.
You know what would be a silly thing to do just to boost up your what's called storm count? Having a Pyroblast out. You can target your own permanent with Pyroblast.
Hmm.
Because, you know, destroy it if it's blue. If it's not, it's just going to go back to your hand.
Yeah, that's a nice, you know, tech.
Plus, you're playing red-white and you want anything you can do to screw up the blue player.
Of course.
Because honestly, it's going to be difficult.
If you're going for a more go-white strategy, there's also... Or you want to go towards that, there's Launch the Fleet.
Mm-hmm.
The
Monastery
also...
Mentor you mentioned?
Oh yeah, Monastery Mentor and the rest
Peasy.
Of the...
Young Peasy.
Yeah, Young Peasy. There's also... you can... Well, if you're going with Storm, well, go with Grapeshot.
Sure, why not?
Because you deal 1 damage to Feather, and you get your Grapeshot back.
Or to whatever, honestly, of your things. Doesn't mm-hmm. have to be Feather herself. You know what's a janky thing you can do? Play Wear and Tear. Destroy something you are not using right now and something important, just get it back.
Yup. That also works.
What's also good? Can we do something with Icicle Scepter that's actually gonna win the game?
Well, if you have Paradox Engine, then, you know, you just won the game anyways.
How do you in these colors win the game?
I don't know.
Paradox Engine? You have a Scepter out, right?
Aether and Flux Reservoir?
I was actually gonna say, have some like Codex Shredder or, you know, or some Lightning Bolt or something like that.
I mean, you have Paradox Engine out and something that actually abuses it. I'm pretty sure you can manage to win some.
Yeah, but that's the thing. In these colors, you actually need to have something to do, because if you're playing blue, it's easy. You just put the Dramatic Reversal on and you're good.
I mean, with Dramatic Reversal, it's just the thing, you don't need Paradox Engine.
Yeah,
but
that's the
Paradox
thing.
Paradox Engine...
But here, you kind of have to.
Oh, wow, I didn't even notice that EDH Rec has a Salt score.
Oh, yeah, they put that recently.
Because I see that Paradox Engine has a high Salt score.
How do you even find it on...
I don't know, I was just like looking through some cards and like high Salt score.
What I was gonna say, do we put some other infinite combos in the deck?
So you have your Isochron Scepter Paradox Engine combo?
What about Dual Caster Mage and something like Twin Flame?
That works?
Yeah, because you need some way to end the game. Feather herself is not just gonna get there.
Well, you can do some... Well, you have Mother of Runes. You can continuously cast like Comet Storm for a lot. And, you know, return it to your hand because you give Feather protection from red in response. Or use... well, what's the card? Jaya's Immolating Inferno.
Oh god, that's a card.
Oh, also the first Fireball.
The OG Fireball.
Yeah, because you can deal 1 damage to Feather, right? And the rest mm-hmm. to anything else.
Yep.
Well, there you go. So you just need, like, a lot of mana. So you put in all the rocks. And this time, actually even the rocks that give colorless mana are still good.
Yes, they're actually good. You want anything. Just give me all.
So, you get all the cards that, you know, give you mana. And that's about it.
I'm going through the Feather the Redeemed, the EDH rec page. People are playing some crappy cards, honestly.
I mean, there's another path, you know, the heroic path. But...
Yep.
that heroic path is like it's weak to removal.
But I found one good card you can play. A Seize the Day.
No, I don't like it.
I mean, if you're going a bit more mid-rangey, it's okay.
It's more oriented towards combat damage, yep. And I was thinking more storming than than actually attacking.
Things you can also do, speaking of combat, is getting something like... do we put actually something like Aurelia, Goad, or things like that in the deck?
I mean, you can put... Because because you have enough protection in your deck to actually, you know, make it work.
My point is, you know, just have a plan B. That's solid. And this is a solid plan B.
I mean, maybe the Paradox Engine is your plan A and Feather is your plan B. Like, make everyone think, oh, you're gonna, like, play Heroic or you're gonna Storm. And, like, nope, I'm playing Paradox Engine.
Where I'm gonna comp now? Out like a bastard.
If there's a lot of people that use infinite combat steps or something like that to kill you, then I guess Intimidation Bolt is a thing.
Wait, that's from Alara, isn't it?
It is.
Oh god.
It deals 3 damage, so just enough to not kill Feather. And other creatures can't attack this turn.
You have really embraced the junk, haven't you?
Of course. I mean, just, you know, a one-off won't hurt. The thing is, you're playing a lot of one-offs that won't hurt, so in the end they will hurt at some point.
Yep. What a hero janky card that's more oriented to combat, but I just remembered. That stupid thing from Kaladesh, Invigorated Rampage, I think it is.
Yeah, the one that was in, Oh, you can go for, you can do something like a Feather Energy deck, and then go with the standard kill. What's it called? That one guy.
What?
The Pummeler.
Oh God, where did you drag him out of?
I mean, from the deepest bowels of a horrible standard, because he was in the same deck with Hydra. Also, that was a combo that was not supposed to work. I'm
it
just
was not.
Saying.
And yet.
And yet it did.
What's also... we need to play all the rocks, right? That we can?
Of course, yeah.
Because we're playing Boros and we're having a bit of a problem. Oh, you know what's a janky artifact? I'm just seeing it at the page. Veilstone Amulet. For 3 mana, whenever you play a spell, creatures you control can be targets of spells or abilities your opponents control, aka Hexproof. Depending how much disruption there is in your meta.
Yeah, and it kind of turns your non-protection cantrips into protection and cantrips.
Mm-hmm.
So it's decent, yeah.
It's okay. It's not, you know, the best thing ever, but it's okay.
I mean, they also mentioned this, like, a Sphinx Bone Wand, but it costs 7 mana, so no.
Oh, you're playing Boros and that's 7 mana. That's like, let's not. Thing I would personally play, and you don't have to agree with me, is things like Magus of the Moon.
Oh no, you definitely play Prison Pieces.
Because you're playing Boros, and that's the problem.
Oh, you're playing a lot of things. Also, your plan B can be Assemble the Legion.
Do we play that?
Of course, why not? Like, why not?
okay, I'll grant you this one, but things like Blood Moon doesn't affect us, if you're playing enough basics.
Of course, you're playing Magus of the Moon, because you can protect him.
When I say Blood Moon, I mean, you know, the whole package, if you can. Rest in Peace. We're not using our graveyard that much, or at all.
We're not using it at all.
Smothering Tide, because Smothering Tide. And you can do cute things like with Smothering Tide, Wheel of Fortune, and if you have that Elms collector, what's his name?
Elms collector, yeah.
Oh yeah, that guy. You can play fun things like that. Suppression Field is also good. Guess what? I don't have activated abilities.
Aura of Silence, of course.
Yeah. We don't actually play in this deck, I think, something like Idol of Rhetoric.
No, Idol of Rhetoric you don't, unless your plan is like slowly attacking and killing with commander damage.
Not the thing I would recommend, honestly.
Definitely not. And not things like Trinisphere. Trinisphere actually hurts us a lot.
Yeah, but this isn't good Trinisphere deck. There was another thing that they mentioned that wasn't that useful in the pre-show, but I can't remember right now.
Well, I know that Ensnaring Bridge definitely isn't.
Oh god, no.
Unless you're using Bottle Cloister. But you don't want to be using Bottle Cloister,
yep,
because you get rid of your hand.
Yeah, Stony Silence is a thing we don't use.
Yeah, because of...
That's a thing.
So we use Karn instead of that.
Yeah, that works. I'm okay, actually, with that.
Because then you can actually turn your important artifact, like your... what's it called? Aetherflux Reservoir into a creature.
Yep.
And they're like, haha, it's a creature, now I can kill it. Nope, now I can protect it.
Cursed Totem is also a thing we can use.
Definitely, because we don't care about activated abilities. So, just because we're using Cursed Totem, we can use Linvala. And we can also, as like a backup protection, use Archangel Avacyn.
That's a bit much, I think.
I just like Avacyn.
I mean, I know you do, but I think it's not for this deck. Also, what I was gonna say, things like... we could play things like Armageddon and Cataclysm.
Well, seeing that we can also play Boros Charm, sure.
Yep. And things like Tormenting Voice and Cathartic Union should be a thing we consider.
Also, Sunforger is like a no-brainer.
That was an obvious thing, I just didn't want to mention it, because yes, we play Sunforger. Also, Magnetic Theft needs to be in the deck.
just because reasons.
Not just that, with Sunforger, it's much cheaper, you know, to not pay 5 mana to do the whole dance, to do 3 mana.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why. Guess we play Silence, because we have Sunforger.
Yeah, the only problem with Silence is that you can't actually bring it back.
No, but on a turn, when you need to actually win the game, you want to be able to win the game.
If we're playing with a lot of token producers, then Oblation is actually a really good draw spell.
What we're talking about currently is basically we have two pathways we can go. Your Stormway and my Taxiway, so you know. We're just jumping back and forth.
I mean, why not both?
Thing that is gonna be played in any of this version is Gamble, I think.
Yeah, it's a red. Yeah, you need all the tutors you can get for this.
That and a light tutor. You also need that.
Oh, Orym's Thunder can actually be used as a repeatable artifact removal if their cost isn't 4 or more.
Speaking of Orym.
No. It doesn't actually deal damage to creatures. Never mind.
I was gonna say we can always play Orym's Chant.
Also, Spawning Breath is so janky.
Oh god. Is the thing that deals 1, 2, and 3 damage, or...?
No, it deals 1 damage and you get a Eldrazi spawn.
You get a dude.
But I really like Blessed Alliance.
Oh, that's not bad, actually. Because it does stuff. Orym's Chant also isn't bad on the Icicle Scepter. Not the best thing you could be doing, but honestly, just stopping people from actually doing spells for a while is not bad.
Yep.
Gravedigger's Cage also doesn't touch us. I just remember randomly.
Yep. And... what else? Do we actually need, like, Darksteel Plating to protect Feather?
No. No need for that, honestly. If you're gonna add more artifacts, just add, you know, basically, Godo, Helm of the Host, and maybe Aurelia. And Sunforger, and I think you're basically done. You don't need anything more.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Steel Shaper's Gift, open the armory, if you, that's gonna be your second win cons.
Is there any other way to imprison our foes until we, you know, storm them out? Is Thalia actually, you know, legit?
The first one I wouldn't be playing.
I mean, the second one is like, it goes in any version.
Mind Sensor goes in this deck.
Oh, yeah. Then Leonin Arbiter, because we don't actually tutor that much.
Yeah. I can actually see that being a thing. Heartwarming Redemption, do we play that? Just because it's a wheel?
Yeah, sure. It wheels are, you know, unnecessary. Once we get some cantrip engine going, we don't need all the cantrips. We just need the payoffs.
Recruiters we do not need, right? I don't think they're necessary.
No. We don't tutor for creatures. We're tutoring for non-creatures.
Unless
the plan is, you know, the Thermo Alchemist, Archer, and things like that.
I think that plan is more cute than anything.
It could work.
It would, in 75% meta, yes, you could actually win games like that. In a more competitive setting, I don't think so. You're gonna, you know, just ping a bunch of people for like 10, 15 life, and then somebody's gonna win the game.
I don't know, the more we talk about this deck, the more I feel like making it, because as far as I can see, most of the deck is like dirt cheap.
Yes it is. Most of it is stupid crap that people don't even play in Limited.
Or used to play in Thero Standard.
Nixia, I think foiling the deck is not going to be that expensive for the most part.
I mean, what are the most expensive parts? Well, the most expensive parts are like the Blood Moon and the rocks, the more expensive rocks.
Yep.
You could say that Sunforger... Oh, okay, Paradox Engine is apparently becoming more and more expensive.
Yep. Because each day we're farther away from that set being released. And less copies are being, you know, given out, right?
Oh, just excuse me, I have to answer the door. I'll be right back. So yeah, I mean, that about covers the deck, right?
Just one random card I remembered. Stranglehold. That's good, isn't it?
Of course. It presents people, right?
It doesn't do anything to us, but you know.
Yeah, it actually doesn't ever do anything to us.
Yeah, because that's how the card is designed.
Mm-hmm.
You think you'll actually be making this?
I'll actually try.
Because I've been going rummaging through my cards, and I have a bunch of these stupid white and red instants. So it shouldn't be that expensive to actually make.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. And then I'll play it against our competitive scene and see how it goes.
I think the secret is just let everybody kill themselves and you just smack him with Feather in the face. That's
I just
apparently...
play Feather and that's it.
Basically, you just smack them in the face with things and they die.
Mm-hmm.
It's even better if you have huge things that smack them in the face, like a 5/5 stupid dragon.
Mm-hmm. And I think that about covers it for this week's show.
Mm-hmm. It was a short one, but you know.
We gotta have those too.
What, you're not looking forward to make a 2-hour long show every day?
I don't have anything against that, though.
I mean, I think the thing we need for that is like a third person on the show.
Mm-hmm. Or fourth.
Yeah, because you and I get repetitive a lot because we've been doing this for a while. Should we get another guy?
We'll see about that.
I don't know. Anywho, what episode has this been? Because I'm bad at I actually did...
90?
Or 91?
90 or 91.
Let's actually check it out, because this is a moment to do it. I am not sure still. And... drumroll, please. It's 91. Hooray!
Hey, we did it. We passed 90.
Actually, we still haven't did it because we need to go through episode 100 to actually do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this has been episode 91 of the Elder Dragon Roll podcast. This was your host, Tiger, and as always, with me was my co-host, Niksha.
Yeah, it was me, Niksha.
It was you. And as always, the Emperor protects.
And the Feather redeems.
Brothers has been swallowed by the grounds. Unbelievable, insatiable thirst, the lines break. Tide swirls and rushes forth, my arms shake. I am swallowed by the storm surge. But I will turn from this, we will emerge from this. Ignore the creeping dread that slid us up our spines from this. Yet I'm the final dirge. Hear me! I command a standard, so a standard face a chaos scourge. I count the days as to come, turn to a month now. Still with perseverance we raise the body count. Just as the pangs of pain, know that I know your face. You know mine when every death is repaid. Burning bastions sanctioned by your chaplains. Line up every sight while I align the battlements. 10,000 lights burn out in a blink. With a stalwart step prepared to hold before this brink of the precipice. While I join with disaster. Like a funeral song. One reason that you hold on. Show me the war, master! And those I thought were my brothers have turned their backs on the fold. The headman's act I now hold. We hid ourselves in the dark. Foundation shook. Step out of the sunlight to re-emerge. Luna wolves. Now we wait on our haunches. Coiled. Soon I will find my vengeance gets a despoiled. I can't forget the sight of their becoming poison. Suffering immaterial death. Fate unavoidable. Knife meets back. Cause brothers meets bloodshed. Return to give the devil tapping to the serpent's head. Backstabber turncoat. Chain of command failures. Miniature lower swords as it cuts through your defenses. Tide turns again and not in our favor. My forces place a death, but not once do they waver. And as the palace is breached, I'll take what I can reach. Aim for Abaddon's throat. Your life is beyond reproach. By the despicable's hands, our hope is scattered like sand. And every outcome I wanted sits above the unhaunted. Should have kept deeper still. Burying my grave to fill. Soon I will have all your heads. You should have checked I was dead. And I can still see their faces. Their trusting look led astray. Only blood can amend this.